Welcome to Revitalize and Replant with Mark Clifton, where we equip pastors to take their churches from declining to thriving by pointing them to a new future and a new hope. Join us weekly for encouragement and practical advice in your pastoring journey.
Welcome to Revitalize and Replant with Mark Clifton. We're kind of excited about the next few sessions that we're going to be doing because we're talking about stuff that you have probably been somewhat familiar with when we talk about experiencing God.
I hope they have. Hey, I'm Mark. Good to have you here, Dan.
Mark Clifton is the Mark Clifton of Revitalize and Replant with Mark Clifton.
I'm so excited. I can't wait to get this going. Hey, Mark Halleck.
Hey, guys.
He's here with us all the way from Denver. And by the way, we're always sitting around a table together. We are not in separate places.
That's right.
We are all together. So tell a little more about what we're going to do today, Dan.
Well, we're talking about experiencing God and really kind of bringing this down into a podcast form where you can obviously participate and listen to it, but it could be something that you could share with your people also and get them and invite them to listen to the podcast and also fellow pastors. Let them participate also. So let's talk about this, and let's just get started into this reality. The first reality of it is that God is always at work.
Now, that's the foundation of experiencing God. And if you, hey, maybe you don't know about the experiencing God, a Bible study. That's altogether possible. It was written by Henry Blackaby about 30 years ago. His son Richard and his grandson have updated it recently, so there's a new updated version that's just come out. It is seven realities, and it's a workbook, and there's a video series, and it is awesome because basically the things it says are exactly what a dying church needs to hear. I have used experiencing God with dying churches on so many occasions, and it has been the very thing that has moved them from hopelessness to incredible hope, and from trying to do it themselves to letting God do it for them. You know, one of the things Henry used to always say, we always say, don't just sit there, do something.
Yeah, yeah.
But Henry would say, if you haven't heard from God, don't just do anything, sit there until you hear from him.
Yeah. Well.
And there's some real power in that. And one of the first reality of experiencing God, if your church is in decline, if you are maybe really concerned about the future of your church, maybe ready to close, or it's just in that stagnant declining, you're not reaching anybody, nothing's happening, and no one in your neighborhood seems to be responsive. You know, you do door-to-door, or you do block parties, or you do events, and nobody seems to come, nobody seems to care, and it seems like a really hard, resistant place. The first reality of experiencing God, it's a biblical truth is what, Mark Halleck?
God is always at work around you.
He's been at work from the very beginning.
He's at work. He's alive. He's moving in power. And that's where, again, it seems so basic, but it's foundational to everything. Because, again, we can talk about God, but God isn't just some concept. He's alive. He's moving. He's moving in your church and around your church and through your people. And so this is the faith factor, right, of just starting with believing God, you are moving, you are alive.
I've got a question about this, because with Mark's church out in Denver, your church as a revitalization project, and I remember the first time we went out there, our first episode of this podcast series was out there, and
That's
we
right.
sat in your church.
That's right, in and the basement.
And one of the things that we talked about, and Mark— bless your heart, Mark Clifton made fun of your building.
It's easy to make fun of, let's be honest.
But then there was this line where he said, but God's at work here.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Now,
yeah.
In your experience, when you went there, was that something that you intentionally began working with from the beginning, that God is here? He is doing something here?
Absolutely, absolutely.
And did they believe it or did they not believe it?
I think that's part of when you're leading a church back to health and revitalization, I think they believe it, but it's almost like they've forgotten it. They've forgotten it. You know what I mean?
And I think the pastors have forgotten it. Listen, guys, I know what it's like to be in a place where you're not getting any receptivity.
Yeah.
Nothing. Nobody is attending. No one's responding to anything you do. You get online, you hear about other guys who have, you know, events, and all these people come, and you're, you know, say, and I hear it all the time, our neighborhood is so resistant. They're just... And what you have to do is you have to realize, as Henry so wonderfully lays out in this great study, it's all biblical. From the very beginning of the of creation of earth, God has been at work.
That's
He's
right.
never not been at work.
Yeah.
You look at the entire history of Scripture. God is at work through all of it. You look in your life. He's been at work. So what's to make you think that in the homes around your church building, that God's not at work
Amen.
There?
That's right.
He's at
That's
work
right.
in every single home. You go yeah. knock on a door, the Holy Spirit is
That's
already
right.
working on that house.
Yes.
And you have to get that attitude. Your people have to get that attitude.
Yep.
They're not out there trying to generate something.
Mm-hmm.
They're out there trying to join God in what He's doing. God desires to reach that neighborhood.
Yeah.
God desires to bring those people into a saving relationship with His Son, Jesus Christ. God wants to do that, and He's working in all kinds of ways you can't imagine.
You know what? And Mark, for me, so I read, experiencing God was powerful in my life in college.
Okay.
That was the first time that was years ago. But it was amazing. I remember doing this Bible study with the guys. We're working through experiencing God, and we were all believers. But it was almost like this truth, it somehow blew our minds.
I know.
It's just crazy that, oh my gosh, you guys, the Lord is at work. He's alive.
Right.
This is unbelievable.
Right.
And it's like it was right in front of us, but somehow we didn't see it. And I think sometimes, don't just assume, we've got to be excited about this
Absolutely.
Reality that
Absolutely.
God is moving.
So we go into a community and it looks harsh. In fact, I just got off a Zoom call right now. I mean, that's why you don't know this, but we were late getting started on the podcast because I was on a Zoom call with a group of denominational leaders from a group other than Southern Baptist, and they've got a church in a community that's very resistant. The church is in decline. Everything they try to do isn't working to reach people, and they were very discouraged about it. And yet the reality is maybe what they're trying to do isn't working. They're not doing it correctly, but I promise you, the Holy Spirit is at work in that community. He
yes.
hasn't left
yes,
it.
That's right.
It's not like God says, I'm going to work everywhere except this 10-block area,
yeah.
and then, you know, I got something else to do. He is at work everywhere all the time,
yeah.
and that is so important. Now, we may, you know, that doesn't necessarily mean that when you show up at a place, people are going to start pouring in.
Yeah, yeah.
You may never see the fruit of your labor. You knock on somebody's door, you have a block party, you give away some food, you tell them Jesus loves them, and that may not know, but that may be a seed, right,
mm-hmm.
that's planted that decades from now bears fruit after you're already gone.
Yeah.
That's not your problem. You just need to know that when you're out there doing the work of Christ, He's also there. God's already at work around you.
So good.
I'm telling you, it is transforming. It is what it does. You ready? This is what dying churches need. This is what this reality brings. Hope.
Mm.
Hope.
Amen. That's so good.
Hope.
It's true.
Hope. We're not here alone. God is at work.
Yes.
There is hope. Even if we don't see the results, that really doesn't matter. There's hope. What we're doing
yeah.
matters.
That's right.
And you just have to understand. You know, Jesus said, I do what I see the Father tell me to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, Jesus, I do what the Father shows me. That's what He said.
Yeah.
And so if our Lord did that, we should do that.
That's right. That's
and it's
right.
not like God's not doing anything, right? He's at work.
Yeah, that's right.
I mean, it's just, and you need to go back in your mind and you need to remember those times when something happened that, you know, you would, and I've done this, and you have too, Mark, you
yeah.
or Dan, you know, you've encountered someone, you've knocked on a door, and it's all of a sudden, it was just the right time, just the right place.
Yeah.
But people had been probably talking to that person for years before, but you just showed up at exactly when God wanted you, but other people were part of that process.
Yes.
And so God is always at work.
Well, and I think one thing real quick that I would say to that, which is so good, is God is at work, and so expect Him to move.
Yes.
That's the other thing. Expect God to move. Expect that when you knock on that door, the Lord's already doing something, you know, and trust Him.
I was at lunch recently with the executive pastor of one of the largest churches in a metropolitan area, and it's a big honking church, all right? I mean, it's one of those biggies. And I mean, they're growing like they can't help grow. I mean, they just get bigger because they're getting bigger, and there are all kinds of people coming and all that kind of stuff. And I'm having lunch with this executive pastor, and so the waiter comes over, the server comes over, and the first thing the executive pastor does is he sees his name and he calls him by name, and he says, "You having a good day today?" And the young man says, "I'm doing all right, great. Oh, no big deal." So I'm talking. The server comes back, and the executive pastor says, "Man, you know, you go to school someplace?" He goes, "I was in college, now I'm doing this." Okay, no big deal. Comes back. The third time he comes back, the executive pastor says, I got a question. I hope you don't mind me asking. Do you ever go to church? And I'm thinking, okay, fine. Listen to what that young man said. No, but my mom talks to me about that all the time.
Wow. Wow.
And he said, well, where do you live? He said, I live with my mom. Oh, okay. Comes back again, and the executive pastor said, how would you like to make your mom the happiest woman on earth today? I said, what do you mean? He said, Thursday nights, you know, our church has something for guys and girls just your age for college kids.
Yeah.
And if you called your mom today and said, some guy I served invited me, and I'm just going to go, what do you think she would do? He said, man, she would be so happy.
Wow.
He said, why don't you do that? He said, yeah, I think I will.
Wow.
God, that's, you know, amazing. God's at work,
that's
right?
That's good, yes.
I mean, I wasn't sent into, all I wanted was a bowl of chili. You know, I didn't care. You know, and it was, again, you just got to always be thinking about that. God was working on that young man. And what if, you don't know what God's doing.
That's right. You
right?
Don't know.
Well, but except
experience.
That we do know what God is doing,
that's
which
true.
Is the second
that's
reality.
Yeah.
Right.
And that God's pursuing a love relationship. You know, that's the thing about it. And every person that we connect with, it's that the whole motivating factor behind that is that God loves this person.
And God pursues us.
I mean, don't forget that. That's right.
It looks from our perspective sometimes we found God, right?
Yeah.
But we know we didn't.
That's
right.
We didn't wake up going, hey, I think I'll just follow him today. Yeah.
Yeah. Wasn't it one of the disciples said, hey, come, we have found the one Well, you didn't really find him. He found you.
Yeah.
But from your perspective, you found him. Or, you know, I found Jesus. I understand what you mean, but he found you. He has pursued you.
That's right.
From the time that Adam and Eve sinned. And what did God do? Where are you?
Yeah.
He knew where they were, but he was pursuing them.
Yeah.
And he continues to pursue us. And if he pursues you, he's pursuing that waiter. He's pursuing the people across the street. But I want you to make it personal.
Yeah.
God pursues a love relationship with you. And this is important. We always say Jesus has a plan for every church.
Mm-hmm.
The only way you're going to know what that plan is, the only way your church is going to know what that plan is in the midst of an intense, intimate relationship with God through Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
You're not going to know it any other way. And so to the degree that your church and you nurture and foster and grow in that relationship that God pursues with you, to that degree, you're going to understand the heart and the mind of Christ.
Amen.
And what he wants for your church. Good. Man, wake up every day and say, I'm so glad God pursues me.
Yeah.
I'm so glad he doesn't just give up on me.
Yeah.
Let me ask you a question, bro.
Yeah.
You went to sleep last night here in Kansas City, right?
Yeah.
Stayed at a hotel,
flew
over here. Like I said, we do these things live. You went to sleep saved, regenerated,
that's right,
child of God. How'd you wake up?
I woke up regenerated, saved, a child of God.
What did you do during the night to keep you saved?
You
did nothing.
I did a lot. No, just kidding.
You did nothing.
I slept. I dozed.
That's right.
That's right.
Your salvation is because God pursues
you. Oh, my gosh.
You.
Absolutely. I mean, I remember, again, this is such a great conversation. It takes me back to when the Lord saved me when I was 15. And I got saved in this little church camp up in mountains of Casper, Wyoming. There were about 30 of us sitting on logs. This was not a cool camp.
Okay.
This was like literally logs, cabins. And but I'll tell you, Jesus was there. And I had never heard preaching. This old pastor, Jim Brown, pastored a little church of 30 people in Burns, Wyoming, a town of about 400. And he preached with tears the gospel. And that Jesus had died for our sins to save us and all these things. I'd never knew, you know, realized I was a sinner and I needed salvation. But then I never forget, he said, and God, he sent Jesus to die for you, yes, but he wants a personal relationship with you.
Yeah.
I had never heard that, thought of that. I couldn't believe it, that God wants a personal relationship with me. And it's not just me, it's all of his children and every one of his churches. And if that doesn't, man, Mark, here's the truth. If that doesn't blow our minds every morning when we get up, that the maker of the universe has pursued me, sent his son to die for me, has filled me with his spirit, and then day by day loves to walk with me and comfort me and encourage me and challenge me and grow me, man, I'm missing the point of life. I'm missing it all. And so praise the Lord. That's true not just for Mark Halleck. That's true for each of us who are believers, and that's true for every one of his churches.
Right. So the beginning point, guys, for church revitalization is actually the relationship your people have with Jesus.
That's right.
It is not strategy. It is not demographics. It is not a conference, because Jesus knows what he wants to do with your church, and you will only know that in a relationship with him. You won't know it in any other way.
Yeah.
And he pursues that relationship. Now, we unfortunately, because we're carnal still, we're still fallen, we're not fully sanctified, we still enjoy sin. And we still, we've talked about this a little bit even offline here, you know, talking about revival. We'll do maybe a whole nother thing on that, but how we, even in our flesh, even though God pursues this intense relationship with us, we still look at other things. We still sometimes just don't pay attention to our Bible. We'll look at other things. We'll read things we shouldn't read. We'll look at things we shouldn't look at. We'll be prideful. We'll be jealous. We'll be envious. All those things, and that really hinders our relationship. But it never stops Him from pursuing us.
Amen.
And so it's such a glorious thing to know that my God pursues me.
Well,
and
man, and
me.
Listen, that the this is where the doctrine of assurance is so practical.
Absolutely.
That it's not us holding Him. Jesus said, no one will take Him out of my
hands.
That's
right. He holds me.
Praise the Lord. Yeah.
But the key for us as in church revitalization is knowing that if our people have this right love relationship with God, if they love Him and they know that He loves them, then there's this motivation to come alongside and accomplish what it is that God wants to accomplish. If He loves me so much, then why? What does He want to accomplish? I tell my people all the time, look, God loves you so much, He can't stand the idea of spending eternity without you, which is why He came to earth. You know, so if He wants to spend eternity with me, and then why? What is it that He wants to accomplish? What does He want to do now for making those plans for eternity? So that love relationship leads us to this understanding that God's up to something.
Yeah, He's always at work around us. He always pursues us in a love relationship, first through salvation, and then just through a deeper, closer walk with Him to know His heart, know His mind.
Amen.
And so we have the mind of Christ in order that we might do what? In order that
That's
we
right.
might simply...
That's right. I think we're thinking the same thing, brother.
We are.
So Ephesians, listen, let me read it. Ephesians 2, 8 through 10, right? So first it says, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith. This is not from yourselves, it's the gift of God. That's what we just talked about.
Right.
Not by works so that no one may boast. And then verse 10, for we are God's handiwork,
there you go.
Created in Christ Jesus to do good works.
Yep.
And then this blows my mind, which God prepared in advance for us to
do. Oh, I love that part. I know, that's so amazing to me.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah, and so we are invited to join Him in His work. But
yes.
You've got to understand, church pastors, the invitation comes out of the intense relationship.
Yeah.
You know, so many times...
Say that again.
The invitation comes in and out, comes through the intense personal relationship.
The personal relationship, that's it.
The closer you are to Him, the more time you spend with Him... Then you understand that invitation to join Him in the work. That's why you look at people and they don't volunteer in your church. They don't serve in your church. They just show up. They sit there like they're critics of your worship service, critics of your ministry. Mm-hmm. And you think, what? Because they're not in an intense relationship with Jesus. If they're in an intense relationship with Jesus, they want to join Him in whatever
That's
He's
right.
doing.
That's
they
right.
want to yoke with Him.
That's right.
They want to be part of Him.
Right.
And so... Again, we in church revitalization, we just want to get to growing the numbers. How do we? Man, you got to grow the people you've got.
Yeah,
and
they
if they're truly regenerate, if they'll be the more deeply they are in love with Jesus, the more they're going to align their heart with Him. We say all the time, dying churches. These people have made an idol out of the church as they know it. The building, the organization, the governance, the structure, everything. They don't want to change anything because. The comfort of all that familiarity is really strong to them. What you have to do is get them to lay down that false idol and instead idolize only Jesus
That's
and what
right.
He
yeah.
wants.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
they'll find real joy in that. And that comes as they grow daily in their love and commitment to Him.
Yes, yes.
And we say it all the time. It's all about the gospel.
Yeah.
Because the way you grow in love for Jesus is to remind yourself, to preach to yourself every day the cross and what
Amen.
Jesus has done for you. Just like
That's
I
right.
said,
That's
you
right.
went to sleep saved, you
That's
woke
right.
up saved. You had nothing to do with
it's
that.
All grace.
He did it. It's all grace all the time.
That's right.
So in the midst of that real relationship, that is when He then invites us to join Him in His work.
Yeah.
And this is the thing that people always talk about when they talk about experiencing God. This is the one that they always quote because it's probably the most quoted. We see where God is at work, and we join Him in it.
Yeah, yeah.
We don't create the work.
Mm-hmm.
Look at every narrative in the Scripture. No one's Abraham didn't call himself to go someplace. Mm-hmm, God called him. God called Noah. Noah didn't decide to build the ark on his own. All of that. You can go right down the list. I mean, the whole thing. God called David. God called every prophet.
Over and over.
God called the disciples.
That's right.
God is at work all around us. Yeah. God's the one that does. So why in the world would your church be the one place he's not going to do anything and he's going to leave it up to you?
That's right.
All right?
That's right.
So
that's
God invites you to become involved
to be part
in
of
his work.
Yeah.
And the way it looks is really this fourth reality, which we wrap up, if we can do this in maybe a couple of minutes, and that is that the way it looks to us is that God is speaking by his Holy Spirit, and it shows up through Bible and prayer and the circumstances. But the whole point is that the church reveals God, his purpose, and his ways.
Yeah.
That's the goal.
Amen. That's right. That's
right.
That's right.
And sometimes there are critics of Blackaby saying, oh, wait a minute, you know, it's very dangerous to say God speaks to you.
Right.
I've heard Henry say, did God, when were you saved? Well, did God speak to you or did you just do that on your own? No, God spoke to me.
Yeah.
When you were called to ministry, did God? No, God spoke to me.
Yeah.
How about when you decided you should marry your wife? So God does speak to you.
Yeah,
don't tell me he doesn't speak to you.
Yeah.
And so he does speak to you. And so people, but here's what Henry always says. God speaks through his word.
Amen.
It's got to be got to be consistent with the Bible.
That's right.
God speaks through other believers that you lean into.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
God speaks through the church as a whole.
Yeah.
God speaks through prayer. I mean, it's a variety of things, and if you look experiencing God, you'll see it's not just one.
It's not just some subjective.
Not some subjective dude who says, hey, God told me we should paint the restrooms green.
That's
nothing like that. It's got to be consistent. But my goodness, if we believe God doesn't speak, let's just shut this thing down right now.
No,
we got no hope.
That's
he does speak.
Yeah,
we
just
don't listen, and we don't know how to listen.
Yeah.
Anyway,
that's
Experiencing
good.
God Part 1, Experiencing God Part 2 is coming up. Don't miss it, right?
We're going to be talking about where do you take it from this point? And we hope that you'll join us and make it a point to invite your folks at church to make this a part of their life also. And your fellow pastors. Please take a moment to subscribe if you have not done so already. That helps us in getting the word out, getting the marketing out, if you will, about this podcast. And we thank you for spending time with us and joining with us in this crusade, if you will, to revitalize and replant churches. Thank you to the North American Mission Board for making this possible. And we'll see you the next time we meet together for Revitalize and Replant.
Thanks for joining us today on Revitalize and Replant. This podcast is brought to you by the North American Mission Board, where we help dying or struggling churches regain health for the glory of God and the good of their communities. If you found this conversation helpful, don't forget to subscribe to the podcast on your favorite platform. To learn more about becoming a replanting pastor or to explore resources about revitalization for your own church, visit churchreplanters.com.